Well, here's the beast. This is a coconut rhinoceros beetle. This specimen was the first one to be found on Guam about 14 months ago, September 11th, 2007. Coconut rhinoceros beetle is a major pest of coconut. It actually kills the trees. Here's Guam. It's part of Micronesia. We're about 1,500 miles south of Tokyo and 1,500 miles east of Manila. The orange indicates the home range of the rhino beetle. It's native to most of Southeast Asia, plus the Philippine Islands. During the last 100 years, it's been moving out into the Pacific. It's in Australia, Samoa, American Samoa, Western Samoa, Tonga, Fiji. Near the end of the Second World War, it got into Palau, which is also in Micronesia. And within a few years, it had killed 50% of all the coconut trees throughout the island chain. And on some islands, it actually wiped out the coconut completely. We're trying to prevent that from happening on Guam. It's the adult that does the damage. Both the males and females bore into the crown of the coconut palm. And they get into the middle of the trunk and suck up the sap. That's what they're actually feeding on. If they happen to go through the meristem, the tree will eventually die when the existing fronds fall off within a year. Here's some old damage. If they burrow through forming fronds, when these fronds unfurl, you get this distinctive V-shaped cut. It's very easy to detect. The grubs only live on dead, decaying coconut material. Their favorite microhabitat is standing dead coconuts. But they also feed on logs and stumps. We have literally tons and tons of this material on Guam because we get typhoons which kill coconuts by blowing off their heads. Here's a dead standing coconut, probably killed by a recent typhoon. We sawed this one down and had an agriculture class look at 1 foot blocks of this trunk. We asked them to pull out all the insects they could find. And in this particular trunk, they found 20 CRB larvae and 2 new adults. The top third of the tree was too rotten, the bottom third was too fresh, and the middle third was just right. Okay, that female adult, that was the first detection, was caught right in the middle of our hotel district, right on the beach. This is Tumon Bay. This is our equivalent of Waikiki. The person that found it worked for this wedding chapel. The Japanese like to come down to Guam to get married on the beach. And we have lots of chapels that are built for that purpose. So I couldn't be more dead center. We immediately went out and did a delimiting survey. The yellow dots indicate we couldn't find any sign of the rhino beetle. The red dots means that we found either live insects or the distinctive V-shaped cuts. And here's a close-up of Tumon Bay and another bay called Phi Phi Beach in here. We immediately put a quarantine around this zone and prohibited movement of coconut material outside the zone without inspection and or treatment. Because the infestation is geographically limited, we felt that we could eradicate this if we jumped on it in time. So we put together an eradication plan. And we got support and funding from USDA APHIS, from the U.S. Forestry Service, and the government of Guam. This eradication program is run under an incident command system, and the partners are USDA APHIS, government of Guam, and the University of Guam. I'd like to thank Tim McNary and Dallas Barringer from USDA APHIS for their tremendous support on this, and also Sherry Lee. Sherry Lee Smith from the Forestry Service for her support as well. Your eradication program uses 2 major tactics. For the adults, we use pheromone traps. These are used for mass trapping, plus detection of spread. And for the grubs, we're just doing massive sanitation cleanup to remove breeding sites. Here's one of our pheromone traps. We build these locally. We're using a Rictolure, which is a commercially available aggregation pheromone, which attracts both males and females. The beetle flies just after sunset. It's attracted to the trap, hits these veins and falls into the trap, and it can't get back out because it's a very large, heavy beetle and they need a long landing strip. So when we pick up the beetles, they're still alive. We don't use any toxins in here. The data from the trapping goes into a web database, so it's very easy to get information back out via canned queries like this one. We can also display trapping data on Google Earth automatically. And I just recently found out that you can actually have time data in Google Earth files, which allows you to animate progress, in this case, spread of the beetle. So right now we're looking at a time window from September through December 2007. The green dots represent traps that haven't caught any beetles. The red traps caught one or more beetles, and the white traps are new traps that hadn't been visited during the time period. And we'll just cruise along here. You see we're putting out more and more traps. And here's the most recent report. You can see that we still have an intense infestation right here. We have trapped beetles on these further traps, these traps that are further out. Whenever we get a trap catch, we run out and do a survey around that trap. And we haven't found any breeding sites or damage except at this area right here, which is called Uranau. And there's a small breeding population up there. So right now we have the big infestation in Tumon Bay and one up at Uranau. Here's a close-up of the mass trapping in the Tumon Bay area. We currently have 1,700 traps out there. I have two people that check these traps continually. And we try to check the traps every 2 weeks. Okay, sanitation. It's basically a matter of going in, finding the breeding sites where the grubs are, and just removing all the material that we can. This means actually going down below ground to remove the trunks and the stumps. This is a hot, dirty job. We have 8 people that do that every day. The material is thrown into roll-off bins, and these are trucked to a central point where they're fumigated. More recently we found it more efficient to actually unload the roll-off bins and fumigate these large piles under a tarp. Once the stuff is fumigated, it's immediately taken to a dump and buried. Okay, now I'd like to talk about a survey that I did at the Pacific Islands Club, which is one of our major hotels. We wanted to find out what damage was happening in the hotel area. This survey was done last July. The landskeeper for that hotel immediately set out 28 of his own traps as soon as he heard about the rhino beetle, and he checks them every day, gives me the data. We went in and looked at every tree on the property and scored it for damage. And here's the results. Out of 581 coconut trees, 73% had already got damage. That's either the V-shaped cuts or the boreholes. To me, this indicates that the pheromone traps are not working. They're not intercepting the beetles before they get into the trees. In other words, the trees appear to be far more attractive than the lure, which is a big disappointment. Here's a map of the PIC. The green trees show no CRB damage. The red trees show CRB damage. They're clustered up against the beach, and there's a big cluster right here. This is very interesting because there's an open air spa right here, which does aromatherapy. I think it's possible that some of the aromatherapy compounds, which contain natural ingredients, might be attractive to the rhino beetle, and this might be worth investigating. Okay, currently costs between $1,000 and $2,000 to replace an ornamental palm on hotel property. So already this hotel has suffered damage between $40,000 and $150,000. We're investigating additional tactics. We were hoping that we could inject the trees in the hotel area as a prophylactic. Unfortunately, this beetle isn't in the tree, in the live tree, other than burrowing in to feed on the sap. And it only takes about 2 days to get to the center of the tree to kill it. So we need something that's very potent and very fast acting. And I haven't found anything yet. I've been doing lab bioassays, actually injecting the chemical into the mouth of the insect. And I'm not finding anything that gives significant mortality. This is Richard Mankin. He came out in the spring to test out his acoustic detection equipment. And we can actually hear feeding sounds from the grubs and the adults. And interestingly enough, we can hear communication sounds. All stages stridulate, and we can pick those up as well. So here's a detection technique that we've actually used. Getting back to the traps, I'd like to work on improving the attractiveness of these traps. I've done a mark release recapture experiment. I only released six males right in the middle of the mass trapping, didn't recover a single one. Here's a very crude olfactometer I've put together, haven't got to use it yet. We're also trying changes in trap design. This trap has rotting coconut material in the bottom of it as a co-attractant. Here's the auriculure in the top. These traps are no more efficient than the bucket traps to date. So we've got a big problem on our hands. If the beetles start killing trees, that makes more food for the grubs, which makes more beetles killing trees. So it's a feedback process. If we have a huge population explosion on Guam, the risk of transporting this beetle to other islands, such as Hawaii and the smaller Micronesian islands, is very high. So we really want to get a handle on controlling this beetle. We don't want our trees to all start looking like this. And another consequence is that Guam will have to change all of its logos. So thank you very much. Time for questions. Yes, Dr. Mooney.
I see you are using only the lure and the sanitation for the eradication purpose. Why can't you use the virus?
There is biocontrol for this beetle in the form of a virus and also a metarhizium, which kills the grubs. When we started up this program, we were advised not to spend time on biocontrol. If we could eradicate it quickly, efforts on biocontrol might be wasted, and we just have very limited resources. We do not, at this point, we do need to investigate biocontrol. Yes? We actually used that equipment up at the Uranau site, and it did detect an infestation up there. By the way, Richard Mankin is here, and he's going to be talking about this very work this afternoon at 3:50. It's talk 296. Yes? Yeah.
Repeat the question.
Okay, the question is, does the adult beetle attack the tree in the crown? And the answer is yes. It doesn't go into the stem part. It goes in right at the bottom of the crown.